Welcome back to Arts About, everybody.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Brody. Can't hear Brody.
He's busy twiddling the knobs, though.
Probably good we can't hear him. That's enough of pure maths, thanks.
Yes, it is. Arts About is brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. Mm-hmm. John, what's on this week?
As for my part, I'm going to talk about a storm that I went through in Europe.
Really?
A European-style storm.
Really? Well, that's very thematic, and you might not realise why, John. I'll mention that later on.
Okay.
We have also coming on this week, we have Marlo Ranecki, and she's coming into the studio this morning to talk to us about the 36th Red Hill Art Show that's opening on April 29th.
36,
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's quite a record.
Very successful.
Very successful for that Red Hill Primary School. We've got a bit of music also this week and a bit of Cliff too. And Cliff's a little raunchy this week too.
Is he?
He is, yes. So anyway, let's start with a little bit more of music. Here is John Richard Handy III. He's an American jazz musician, mostly known for his alto saxophone, although he also plays tenor, baritone sax, saxello, whatever that is, clarinet and oboe, and he sings. And he's in his late 80s now. Here's one of his hits, Hard Work. Well, the papers have been full of the Mossack Fonseca scandal for the last few weeks. I suppose everybody's been, you know, made aware of that. Well, as if the sort of the scandal wasn't big enough already, it's now hit the art world. And Mossack Fonseca are now the major protagonist in a quest of ownership over Modigliani, John.
Yeah. And, you know, because they're worth so much money, I guess that's why these people are involved, you know. When the when someone drops a briefcase like that and it spills open and everyone can see what the villains of the world have been up to, there's bound to be a couple of Modiglianis involved.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because the evil characters in this particular story turn out to be some pretty serious establishment art characters. And it turns out that This painting went missing, obviously, after the original owner, whose name, I'm going to have to look it up here, Philip Mastrecki, he's the grandson of Oscar Steniner, who used to be a gallery owner in Paris and who had to escape Paris ahead of the Nazis and left all his paintings behind. And one of the paintings was this seated man with a cane, which is the Modigliani painting. And it turned up at Sotheby's in New York in 2008 after they'd looked for it for years and years and years, never been seen since.
Well, it was lucky to survive, frankly, because the Nazis were particularly unfond of Modigliani.
Right.
But not only was he Jewish, but he was also considered to be somewhat subversive. And
yes,
they didn't like the art at all.
Well, it'll be interesting then who knows actually who stole it, whether it was the Nazis or whether it was just some other quick-fingered
pilfer.
Yeah, an opportunist indeed. Anyway, it's turned up at a gallery owned by Heli Narmad, and he's the son of one man, obviously, but two brothers, his father and his uncle, who have established an enormous art-dealing business in New York, and they've made millions and millions and millions selling really seriously big works, Picassos and, you know, all sorts of things. Anyway, this son, who is particularly not that much interested in gambling, in art dealing, is more of a gambler and has been to jail for running a gambling business out of his home, which was in the Trump Tower, which is, you know, even better. And anyway, what the scandal actually turns out to be is that the grandson's been, you know, after this painting and has stopped its sale. But the defence of the gallery is that they don't own the painting. The painting's owned by a shell company set up by this Mossack Fonseca.
Yes, well, Fonseca. And if you need to set up shelf companies in order to own paintings, you have to wonder about what you know about the painting that you don't want other people
to
know.
Yeah.
It's just gets alarm bells ringing.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And what it actually has highlighted is that in those 11.5 million documents that have been brought to light and exposing all these terrible tax dodges that have been occurring all around the world by some pretty high-profile tax dodgers, is that there are many documents in there that point to a lot of paintings. And there are Damien Hirst's and Claude Monet's and Modigliani's and Picasso's that are all owned by hedge companies, which means, or not hedge companies, I beg your pardon, by
shelf companies. Yes. It's unclear who owns them.
Yes.
There's so much money involved. That's the issue.
It's just shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking. Yeah. Hundreds of millions of dollars for a Modigliani, particularly if it gets a bit of a mystery story behind it, like this one is building.
Yeah, it is. And the sort of the worst of it is, in a way, is that although, you know, this reprobate son of the two, Ezra and what are their names? Ezra and David Named, who have this big art dealing empire.
Well, you've named them as reprobates, that's right.
The son is the reprobate. The father and the uncle.
Do they get this show in the Trump Towers, do you think?
I don't know, but the two uncles set up the shelf company in the first place.
Right.
So they are the establishment that have been sort of revered by everybody around the world.
The business reprobate of sons art.
I know, it's
that
outrageous.
We know very little about.
Yeah, so stay tuned,
it
everybody.
It's going to get bigger.
It certainly does. And just while I've got a minute or two, I wanted to mention, your theme today, John, is storm. Well, that also is the theme of Dark Mofo this year.
Yes.
And tickets have gone on sale this week. Darkness and fire and madness abound. This year's festival spans 2 weeks from June the 9th to the 21st and has received double funding this year, given that they had so many people attend last year. The government have doubled their annual funding to $2 million. It's also seen a teaming of Dark Mofo with the Tasmanian Museum as well as the Art Gallery with a program called Tempest, and that's described as a romantic shipwreck of piracy and wild weather, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I'm going down there. Death metal apparently is the sound of the year, which just doesn't particularly interest me, but there will be all sorts of other things. And I do know also that the Songs of the Black Arm Band are playing, and they're thankfully not death metal, but
I don't mind a bit of death metal.
Don't you? Yeah, it's definitely not my thing. I probably won't be playing it very often on this show.
Donna McGree, of course, was a great champion.
Yes, of course she was. She had some great songs. I never really liked them. Of course, there will be we'll have all sorts of installations. Get onto their website and have a look. They're on sale now, and of course, things will sell out. We better go to a very important message, and then we're back to you, John.
And now it's time for John On.
Thank you, Swanee. I wonder if I could get him to do that in a French accent.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Let's get him to do that.
Yeah, some of these stories relate to my time in France, as this one does.
Does it now? I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in France, John.
I had a charming little atelier in France, south of Paris, on the river. And like all good addresses in France, next door to a ruined abbey.
Oh, and ideal, yes. Everybody needs to have that next door.
And the man down at the local cafe said to me one day, John, there's a big storm coming. And I thought to myself, well, that's all right. I'm an Australian. I'm used to storms and I'm not afraid of a pissy little European storm. And I was I'd been in the habit of walking around the local forest, which was full of massive oak trees and sort of stone escarpments, and down on the river, a big wall, and going around the gardens of the local chateau. And it was a lovely place with lots of moss and rocks and that kind of squirrels running around, you know. Anyway, this storm started kicking in and it got quite ferocious, and yet I didn't sort of take any notice of the cafe owner's advice that I stay indoors. I thought I'll go around and have a look around, see what's going on, because I'd noticed a few roof tiles coming off some buildings. And I thought, well, that looks pretty interesting. So I ventured outside in my overcoat. It was winter and freezing cold, and immediately my coat was up around my ears, and I was getting blown down the street. I simply couldn't go in the other direction. The wind was too strong. There was, I remember at one moment a TV aerial came off one of the nearby buildings, flew through the air, landed on the back of a Renault and started scratching it like it was sort of, like it was alive. And I had the bizarre thought that the people watching TV would be just looking at like the back of a Renault, you know.
Don't think that's exactly how it works, but anyway.
And roof tiles smashing on the road all around me.
Is this 1987 by any chance?
89.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it was a famous storm ultimately.
Was it?
But it was blowing me down the road. I couldn't get back in the direction that it was blowing water out of the river. Which was quite extraordinary. And blew me sort of somewhat up the hill toward the forest. And I thought, well, I'll just have to head for the forest.
I'll do what the wind says.
I'll do what the wind says. And I got in through the gates of the wall of the forest, and there were massive oak trees in there, which were making this incredible screeching noise as they sort of did the twist in this storm, and branches coming off them and flying off to God knows where. Bits of stone coming off the tops of the wall around the forest, and a couple of trees, in fact, wrenching out of the ground and sort of getting dragged along the ground. Not the real big ones, but trees coming out of the ground for sure. And I thought, I'll get some cover. So I got behind there's a boulder that I knew near one of the paths, and I got behind there, sort of out of the wind, in a little vacuum area. And as I ducked in there with my overcoat on to get out of the wind, I couldn't help noticing that there were four, in fact, squirrels.
Oh, doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing. We're out of the wind behind the rock. And I could see them all thinking,
ooh,
well, this is a challenge. You know, do we take on the storm or him?
Mm.
You know, and they all just sort of decided, well, let's just hope he doesn't sort of get hungry.
Yeah.
Or whatever squirrels think. But the five of us spent about an hour and a half behind this boulder in the forest while this thing raged across the top of us.
Do you think you made friends?
No.
No.
They were terrified, as I was.
Yeah,
in fact,
of course.
The whole time. But the noise was extraordinary. It was just, and air takes on a completely different character. It has real weight to it.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I thought, and the reason I asked you whether or not it was 1987 was because I was in London. I had just arrived to live in London in 1987, and I think I'd only been there for a week or so, and a storm happened. And we lived right next to the Hampstead Heath, so there were masses of oak trees everywhere. And there was a sound to the wind that I recognised. And in fact, I said, do you get hurricanes here or cyclones? And and I was laughed down.
That howling.
And it was that howling sound. Yeah. And as it turned out, it was a cyclone and masses of trees were ripped out all across the heath.
I'll tell you a story one day about Hampstead Heath.
Oh, will you?
And Bob Dylan lyrics.
Oh, my goodness, I can't wait. Thank you, John. Another beautiful story. Dear little squirrels.
Yes. I hope they're well.
Now, listen, while we get Marlo Renicki into the hot seat to give us all she has on Red Hill, here's Roxy Music with Out of the Blue. And I just love this track. I don't think I need to say anything else. For the last 36 years, the Red Hill Art Show has been showcasing artists from all over Australia in its fundraising art show for the Red Hill School. It's grown from its early beginnings as a tiny event in the school hall showing local artworks to the mega show that it is today, displaying and selling hundreds of artworks. It incorporates many mediums, including jewellery, glass, ceramics, sculpture, photography, textiles and painting, and is regarded as the premier art show on the peninsula. And thousands of visitors go there over the first weekend in May. Event coordinator Marlo Renicki is with us in the studio this morning to tell us more. Good morning, Marlo. Thanks for coming into Arts About.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, this year is your second year at the helm, Marlo. Was 1 year not enough to drive you crazy?
I thought that I'd learnt so much in my first year that it was silly not to use all that knowledge. And so far, touch wood, it's making it easier this year.
Oh, that's of course it does. Of course it does. Tell me, is it a bun fight with artists? I mean, is it? Are you turning artists away who want to participate?
Look, historically, Art Red Hill was an invite-only show. We decided last year to widen the offering for people coming to have a look, and we opened it to submissions as well as inviting. This year, to streamline the process, it is only by submission, and it has brought such depth to the show. Mm-hmm. We have been heavily subscribed, and we have had to turn some artists away, unfortunately, but the calibre of the work is just stunning.
Mm. How many different artists do you have participating this year?
We have over 100 artists in the painting and works on paper category. We have about 25 photographers and about 40 other artists covering jewellery, textiles, ceramics and glass. So it's big.
It's really big. John, have you participated in... Have you
I have
painting?
In the past,
yeah. Yeah, I thought you did.
And I've participated in other ways, which means I've turned up and had a drink there.
Yeah.
And it's a big party.
It is.
And a fabulous party, actually. And I like the way that the... It's always good to see any sort of art be so successful at what it does that it builds itself a new venue.
Yeah.
And that's pretty well what's happened down there.
It is. We've got the beautiful new gymnasium at the school, and we've been able to, and that's my only experience of the show because I've only been on the peninsula for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's all Art Red Hill's been, but I've heard of some historical stories of art in the hall and it filling the hall almost to the ceiling. So it's nice that we've got a beautiful big space that we can utilise.
And I believe that McCulloch and McCulloch have sponsored a lounge. Is that
they
right?
do, yeah. So a few years ago, Kylie Greer came up with the concept of the Principal's Lounge, which is sort of an exhibition within the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now sort of gone on McCulloch and McCulloch, I think this is their third year in the Principal's Lounge, really brings a beautiful element to the show of the Indigenous work. And it sells amazingly well, so it's fabulous for the school. I think it's really great for the kids to see, really firsthand, that sort of artwork up so close.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan and Emily do such a beautiful job, and they'll give an artist talk over the weekend, a couple of artist talks about the work. So it's a great part of the show.
So what's the span? It opens on Friday night with the big opening night, which is the big party that we always go down to, isn't it, John?
The big party, yes.
Yes.
So the opening night, we're actually, historically it's always been the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
That weekend this year actually falls on Mother's Day weekend, so we've actually brought it forward. So it's opening night's on the 29th of April this year, 7:30 to 10:30, and tickets for that can be purchased online at the Art Red Hill website. And then the general admission is the Saturday and the Sunday, 10 till 4, and that it's $5 entry to the show for adults. Children are free. We've got the exhibition. We've got a pop-up store for beautiful wares for sale. We've got an art cafe, so you can come and have lunch. And it looks like we'll have a full schedule of artist talks over the weekend and some children's activities. So we're sort of trying to increase
wow.
the offering.
Yeah, yeah. It's big. what are the prizes?
Best in Show is supported by Merrick's Art Gallery, mm-hmm. and that's $1,000. We've got Best Other Medium, so alternative, and that's $500. And then we've got People's Choice Award, and then the Shire have got an acquisitive prize, and that's a work up to $3,000 in value that the Shire acquire for their collection.
Not only the prizes is one part of it, but it's a terrific marketplace as well.
It's fabulous.
People look forward to getting down there on that particular weekend and looking for all sorts of things to buy.
And our sculpture part of the show seems to do really well in Red Hill, I think, because of the properties down on the peninsula. People have the space to be able to really showcase sculpture. So we've got quite a big sculpture category this year. And a combination of anything from little works that you could have on a shelf inside to
Something for the winery.
Exactly, for the winery, outside, beautiful visual pieces.
The Mornington Peninsula's got a growing reputation as a venue for sculpture parks.
It's quite amazing how many there are around. We've actually got John Mitchell opening the show from Montalto, so thrilled to have him open the show on the Friday night.
Now, last year the Acquisitive Prize was won by Jenny Riddle, is that
That's right?
Yes. And is she participating this year?
She is. Mm-hmm. We're still finalising details, but it looks like we might be auctioning a piece of her work on the Friday night, mm-hmm. which is really exciting. We've got an auctioneer from RT Edgar, who are our major sponsor, and we'll have a few things to auction over the course of the evening. So that... details to come.
Oh, very good. Keep your eyes on the website, everybody. Now, do artists donate their work entirely, or do they get a percentage of the sale price? How does that work?
They get a percentage. We act a bit like a gallery.
Yes.
So the artist retains 70% of the sales price and the school keeps 30%. So it's better for the artist than being in a traditional gallery, mm-hmm. but it benefits the school enormously for that 30%. So it's really, it helps both of us.
What are they going to buy this year?
The Shire?
The school.
Oh, the school. Oh, there's lots of things.
I bet there's a huge committee that determines what that might be.
There is.
So how do people, what's the website?
The website is artredhill.org.au, mm-hmm. And you can buy tickets online. We've also launching this year as another new initiative, the online gallery. So artists have been given the choice of whether they'd like to put an extra piece on exclusively to be online. Won't be available at the show. But will be available online to buy.
Are they up and running? Will that be up and running in the week preceding the show?
Or? Hopefully at the end of this week.
Yes, yep. Okay.
So a couple of weeks prior to the show, that gallery will open up.
Fantastic. And the artist talks, are they going to be programmed so that we can go onto the website and have
Absolutely.
A look and see who's talking when?
On the website, and also if you follow our Facebook page, we've got a really, really strong social media campaign running, so Facebook and Instagram, and just look for Art Red Hill.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today, Marlo Ranica. Red Hill Art Show is on April 29th through that entire weekend. Is it 10 to 5?
10 to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations on the show too. I think it's been terrifically handled over the years, and it's a massively successful thing, and it's a lot different from 25 years ago when Davey Larvell and I used to climb in through the bathroom window.
So you didn't have to pay $5 to get in.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Marlo.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was the wonderful Amy Winehouse from her album Frank and Back to Black. Isn't she gorgeous?
She is. I just love listening to it.
Yeah, we do.
That's a good thing about music, isn't it? When you love listening to it.
Yeah. Well, goodness, I can't even imagine a world without it. Now, Cliff Ellenden's back, leaving blogging, acting, and just for a moment, and presenting us with a view from his Cliff this morning. Hey, Cliff, good morning.
Good morning, Sally. Good morning, John.
Morning, Cliff. Took your hat off.
Yeah, I thought it'd be nice today, although I'm chewing gum.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to be too nice.
I remember doing a play at the former head of VCA was rehearsing this play, and I was chewing gum, and it demanded I... stop chewing gum through rehearsal.
There goes that relationship.
No, I refused, that's all. So I just laughed. I think I got the reviews in that one. Anyway.
Did you? Well, he wasn't going to get rid of you then.
At La Mama, two new non-Australian plays. Now, this is really interesting.
Yeah?
Nordic Noir Festival.
Oh, I like
Night
a bit of Nordic
sings
Noir.
Night Songs by Norwegian playwright John Fosse, followed by Swedish playwright Nina Tersman, only that play is called, I'll say Effing, will I? Effing
Parasites. Oh, you can say Effing, yes.
Effing Parasites. Why do they call their plays with those horrible F or dreadful rude names?
Because people take notice of them, I think.
Well, that Effing one, it's developed from interviews with asylum seekers, immigration officers and police officers and doctors, so... I just think it'll be interesting. It's coming to La Mama, however. Oh, by the way, yes, I had lunch with Carol Petullo.
Yes.
Oh, she tried to get me to go and see that play.
Yeah, of course she did. It's called The Merry Wives of Windsor.
The Merry Wives
of Windsor. At 45 downstairs.
I know, 45 Flinders Lane or something. But there's also 45 stairs to walk down.
Oh.
I mean, which is pretty good.
But don't they have an artist's lift?
No, they don't. You've got to walk.
Have
you been there?
Yeah, I have, but I thought there was a backstage that you could go down in a,
Well, I haven't seen it.
Depends on who you are, Cliff,
Well, if they have an interval, which they often do, of course, I've got to go upstairs to have a cigarette.
Oh,
45 steps. I get up there and I'm exhausted.
Oh.
Isn't anyway, there's a back door out into the lane, I think, isn't there? Downhill lane.
It's a good spot if you can get a car parked there.
I've obviously there you've said no then.
No, I said I'll be there.
Oh, great. What night are you going to go?
I wouldn't guarantee I'll be there. I'm a day at a time man. But it's got Ezra Bix and Tom Considine in it. And they're, you know, I've worked with them. Tom's married to Melanie Betty, and she teaches drama at the VCA also. I knew her when she didn't teach drama.
Oh, was that quite a long time
anyway,
ago?
Anyway, The Merry Wives of Windsor, yes, have a look at that.
Yes, and following that is Susie D's Shit.
Yeah, Susie D and I, well, yeah, we're sort of vague friends.
Yes, well, I'm hoping that I might get a chance to talk to her next week.
Well, she has a big reputation as a very good director.
Yes, and she's got another show on, I've just realised, at the MTC. It's a youth program, part of the youth program. I think it's called Peddler or something.
She's running very popular.
Which
is not my particular taste as a director, but I'm sure she's terrific.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, yes. One television show, The Night Manager. I mentioned this before on BBC Two or something.
Oh, this has got the thing with Hugh Laurie in it, isn't it?
Yeah, Hugh Laurie and Olivia Colman, who is gorgeous. In fact, I'm only watching for Olivia Colman.
Right.
But, you know, John le Carré.
Yes.
My favourite spy writer.
Is this a dramatisation of one of his books?
I didn't know that. He didn't write the script for the series, but
he wrote the book, yeah.
It's a six-parter, and I just think it's fantastic. What else? Skylight. Now, Skylight's interesting too. It's coming in June to the MTC. It's got Colin Friels. He's a bit of a pain in the neck. He barracks for the Brisbane Bears.
I mean,
how terrible is that? And who else is in it?
Well, that's
Anna Sampson, but it's a David Hare play.
Yes.
And he's fantastic. He's a great playwright, you know. Apparently it's about an attempt to rekindle a once passionate relationship, only to find themselves locked in a dangerous battle with opposing ideologies and mutual desires.
Well, David Hare is doing an artist talk with Julian Burnside at Southbank Theatre and at the beginning of May, that play opens, yes.
That's right, and Julian's always worth listening to too. Also, 2-2.
Yeah.
I like that, 2-2.
2-2. Better go to the MTC website if you're interested.
And for the locals on the Mornington Peninsula... We have old Max Cullen. God, he's as old as me, I think, Max Cullen.
Surely not.
He's with Warren Fay doing Henry Lawson and Banjo Patterson. It's a type of musical. They do yarns and poetry at the Piercedale Hall.
Really?
If you can find that damn place.
The Piercedale Hall? Goodness
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Thursday, next Thursday, 21st of April. Yeah. $35. Will I go along and say hello to Max? No.
What's the play called?
I might. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, okay. How did we find out about that?
Just ring up the Piercedale Surf Lifesaving Club or something. Piercedale Hall. Look up Piercedale on the internet. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been on the internet?
Funnily enough, I have once
Google.
Or twice.
Google's the go. Try Google.
Oh, okay. I'll Google that then. Well, I don't know what the play's called, so I don't know how to Google it. I'll look up Max Cullen.
Just Google Piercedale.
There can't be that much going on at Piercedale, can no. they? Am I in trouble again? Brody's rolling his eyes.
Piercedale's a lovely place. I have to mention yet again Janet King. I've watched three episodes now. I've renamed it Janet Kling.
Oh, why is that?
Because she's enough to drive me to drink.
She has all
these thinking shots. God, I can't stand it when they... A show's full of thinking shots. You know.
I think they do that because she's very beautiful.
Well, they either do that or they have a voiceover, and I don't like voiceovers either. I just want them to act, you know, like in Casablanca, John, and all my people say things and say things and say things. It's quite normal. Anyway, Marcia Dussel.
It is a theatrical device, though, of course, like the soliloquy.
I know, but it's far too Sydney. I mean, haven't they seen Jack Irish? Have a look at Jack Irish.
Yes.
Learn a few things. We don't want to know about how smart you are up there in Sydney. Not that I mind Sydney. I go up there on holidays quite often. Yeah.
It's interesting how voices have a particular effect on you, I think. We had dinner recently with Emily, who does the voiceovers for Jetstar on the television.
Oh, yes, okay.
And the whole time I was talking to her, I felt like
you were in
booking
ad.
A flight with Jetstar, you know.
there's no season four of The Bridge. I suppose you already know that, do you?
Yes.
That's very sad, I think. Seeing as I'm back to season one, I'm watching season one again.
Are you?
Because I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
So it's.
Oh, that's good. This is the goldfish syndrome. I'm hoping that that's going to happen to me soon and I can start watching shows that I've forgotten again soon, the really, really good ones.
Is Sally being rude, John?
No.
No, I wasn't being rude. I was actually applying it to myself.
Just wondering.
Yeah, no. I'm, same
anyway,
thing with
it's
books.
Really good because you just put it in your machine. And if there's nothing on television, you go to The Bridge. And I really have forgotten what happened in season one. And it's fantastic, yeah. But it's sad because we got rid of Detective Saga, you know. She's very sexy, although she says she's a feminist icon. I'm not sure what that is. I prefer to think of her as a sex symbol.
I think they could be the same thing, don't you?
A walking Ooh. Festival. Till the 8th of May. Can you believe it?
Yes.
We have a walking festival.
What's a walking festival?
Oh, it's various walks focusing on people's minds and physical and mental health and all those wonderful things. I walk to the coffee shop every morning. What's wrong with that?
Where does the walking festival take place?
All over Melbourne. You just look up again on Google.
Okay.
Walks.
Oh,
it's
Google.
A festival
Google.
At the moment.
All
There's
right.
a lot of walks. Very interesting. I did look them up.
Yeah.
None of them appealed to me, as it happens.
Yeah, okay.
But because I walk to the coffee shop every morning and to the RSL at night. And I have to walk into the studio, so that's quite enough.
It
and
is
we all fondly, of course, remember the Ministry of Silly Walks.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
With that big, tall fellow.
John Cleese.
Yes. Is he here
He
now?
Has been here. I don't know whether it's still on or not.
I think he was auditioning for people to play Fawlty Towers the play.
Yes.
He's
yes.
desperate for money, of course, because he lost all his money in a divorce with his wife.
He's had quite a few, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, it serves him right. I've got no sympathy for him either, that's all. But
what did he do wrong, Cliff,
that
serves him right?
It did.
What did he do wrong? He got married.
No, I think he would have been. Did he? I always think they play up.
I think he would just be very, very hard work.
Right.
Yeah,
very
well,
personally.
So, you know, like the prime motivation in life is revenge, as you see in all the football and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear of a
Better
fella,
get on with that.
So when I hear of a fella, you know, having a divorce, I think, serves him right, he played up.
Right.
If I'd have played up, I might have been on his side, but I've never played up.
No.
I feel as if I've missed out. You
know?
Oh,
right.
So
it's a bit spoiled grapes, or what's that expression? Spoiled milk. Or
sour grapes.
Sour grapes, thank you.
Revenge is sort of indelibly printed in my mind, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Particularly, I follow Collingwood, as you know. Look, I've got nothing else to talk about.
All right, well,
today.
What are you going to be doing for the rest of the afternoon?
Oh,
then?
Big afternoon. I'm taking my daughter to lunch. Yeah.
Oh, good. Are you going anywhere special?
Dramana.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Dee's Kitchen because it's too noisy.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else. Somewhere quiet.
Yeah, and they're quite nice. Everyone loves Dee's Kitchen. But I went there the other day, as I told you.
Yeah.
Nobody knew me. Nobody. Dramana's like going to Tasmania. I'm not going, but I'll stop there. On the way.
They're all Philistines. All Philistines in Dramana.
I know.
Well, listen, what about a song? And I have pointed out it's a
that
slightly raunchy selection
it.
This time.
Do I have to pronounce it? I'll never pronounce it. If I was doing this line in a play, I'd be practicing at home
yeah,
for about
right.
3 weeks. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Qui soit.
It's very good. It's Lady Marmalade. La Belle. Yeah, very good choice.
Bye, John. Nice to see
you. Later, Cliff. Good to see you.
Bye, Nelson. Bye, Sally.
See you, Cliff. Thanks for coming in.
Bye.
It's time for the news.
So it is.
And there's plenty of it again this week. Don't forget The Merry Wives of Windsor. As Cliff mentioned earlier on the show, is on at 45 Downstairs, 19th of April through to the 1st of May.
No Go. Lift, according to Cliff.
No lift, no. So, yes, you'll have to walk down and up those 45 stairs if you want to go there. I don't think that's too much of a trouble.
No.
It might be for some, of course. Following that is Shit, Susie D and Patricia Cornelius's play. Susie D directed it. Patricia Cornelius wrote it. It's on at 45 Downstairs afterwards.
Is that a return?
It is. It was part of the Neon Festival, the MTC right. Neon Festival earlier on, or sometime last year.
The return of shit.
It was absolutely fantastic. It was. I'm sure it's backed by popular demand, actually. It was so good. She's also got another play, I think, called Peddling or Peddler on at the MTC coming up as well. Hopefully we'll hear about that. Trying to get her in next week.
David Hare and Julian Burnside, they're going to talk about politics and public institutions, art and the writing life on Sunday the 1st of May at Southbank Theatre. It's presented by the Melbourne Theatre Company and the Wheeler Centre. And if you can get yourself in there, it'd be worth doing, I reckon.
That's right.
Mike yes. Nichols.
Oh, yes.
The Merrick's General Store.
Now, The Odd Couple... presented by Frankston Theatre Group, is on at the Mount Eliza Community Centre. I think it's just been on this weekend, the last 2 days, and then it's on again next weekend.
Okay.
I'm sure if you go to their website, or Google, as Cliff calls it, Frankston Theatre Group, you will find it.
I saw TV Voodoo the other evening.
Oh, did you? In the
quite
city,
by accident, driving yep. past, glanced yep. up, saw it on the wall, thought, that's TV Voodoo, that's Gary Willis's thing.
Yes.
Narrowly avoided hitting the taxi.
That's good. Yes, well, we went to the launch of that actually last week, and my okay. face is up there, John.
Pardon? It's your quite, face, yes. So it wasn't there when I drove by.
It's big.
Right. I'll go and
scary.
Have a look.
Yeah.
Tex and Charlie.
Yes, Tex and Charlie are going to be on at the Grand Hotel.
Brody's going to go and see that, almost
Ooh, are
certainly.
You? Oh, without a doubt. Yes, of course. That's Friday the 27th of May at the Grand Hotel in Mornington.
Mm. And it's Tex Perkins and Charlie Owen, and they're a terrific pair together.
Yeah, they are. Charlie Owen is already a friend of the show. He says yeah. he's going to come in over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so we'll hear a little bit more about that, I suspect. Well, if you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About. But you can catch up on the show via podcast, which should appear on the station website sometime during the week. But the show's also repeated on air and streaming Wednesdays at 12 after Secrets to Health with Angela Jacobson. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art.
But we know what we like.
Mm.
I like Simon Rigg.
Who's Simon Rigg?
At Willy Mora.
Really? Simon yeah. Rigg at Willy Mora?
Yeah.
Is he
I
on
just
now?
Thought I'd mention that as we're going out.
Is it on now?
It's on now.
Oh, go along and have a look, everybody. Mm. I might too.